Hey guys, Justin Brock here, back with the Medicare Gurus Gurunomics podcast. And today we wanted to interview our good friend, Tony Merwin. Tony Merwin is a veteran, a longtime veteran of the insurance industry. He's been in it for 17 years with a background of 30 years in sales and marketing. He brings a ton of charisma to our industry. He's a great guy. And you might spend any time around him, knows he's down to earth. He was the MC of the Medicare Con 2021. And I plan on him being the MC for 2022, as long as he'll have me. And he's got some other stuff going that's really cool too. He's him and Joe Campert do a good job over in the Insurance Syndicate on Facebook, running that group. As well as does a lot with Ali Sela for the Strong Life podcast. Seems to participate in that a lot. He got me on the podcast, and just an all around good guy, bringer of what are they? How did Khaleesi in Game of Thrones used to throw her titles out there? Mother of Dragons, all that. Tony is the bringer of the worlds together. So he's a great at creating. You know, a lot of unit cohesion between a lot of people who used to view each other, I think, as opponents in the insurance industry. And now we all kind of work together in overlapping ways and help one another and just have a good time doing it. And Tony is a huge part of that. He is innovating in that way. So, Tony, I so appreciate you being here. And I want
No worries. Thank you.
I want you to introduce yourself. Anything that I left out, you know, what do you got going on in the world these days?
Everything. It seems like I have my hands in a lot of projects between my responsibilities here with Precision, some of the extracurricular activities I do, like helping you MC your show, participating in other events. Got the new agency that we're starting with my wife, Avila Medicare Solutions. That's going off like gangbusters. So I enjoy being thrust into chaos and just, you know, doing what I can. So I definitely have a lot going on in that regards. But I appreciate the introduction.
I didn't even make it sound like
I was the one that's going to bring balance to the force for a second.
You are. You're a huge part of it. Now, I failed to say Precision. He is the executive marketing director. Is that the right title?
Yeah.
Executive marketing director for Precision Senior Marketing. A lot of people have heard of Precision Senior Marketing. A lot of us just say PSM now. He's doing great things over there. Great folks to work with. So that is a huge part of it as well. And then Avila Medicare Solutions. I did not mention the Colombian Crusher because I'd like to have her on separately one of these days.
Sure.
But Tony's wife is crushing it in the direct to consumer sales aspect of Medicare and learning a lot and out there serving a lot in the Spanish speaking community as well, which is a huge vacuum that we're, you know, a lot of agents are trying to fill. So, Tony, I like to get into these things and just try to, you know, chat about, you know, things that are going on.
Sure.
You know, one of the things that I've been noticing is, you know, as the environment gets more open to us getting back out there and, you know, and communicating in person, you know, these events are starting to open back up and I'm seeing a flood of people that are just wanting to show up and be in the room. And you're consistently in the room. We were just at SWAT, Nate Alford's event together, and you were at Medicare Con, and we're at
SWAT cup.
Yeah, that's right. The guy I was interviewing yesterday had a unicorn cup. So yours is a little more manly than that. but getting out there in these events, what has that done for you, you know, on a personal zen level? You have a very zen room. So, and maybe just from a marketing standpoint, you know, we always preach how important it is to get in the room, but from your perspective, I mean, you're getting in the room a lot. Do you think that that's helping you monetarily, mindset wise? In what ways do you think you're growing from that?
And honestly, it's helping me both, which is great because they can monetarily and mindset can feed off each other. Mm-hmm. Certainly I get a ton out of it, through my space with PSM, I get a ton out of it just from the networking aspects. Because I'm able to meet new agents, develop new relationships, find out what other people are doing, that maybe I can help them with my role at PSM, or that they can give us nuggets that we can bring back that are going to help lift us up. That has been one of the biggest parts of it, has really been opening up more doors, more relationships, more friends in the business. I mean, who doesn't like doing business with their friends anyway?
Right.
But then the other side of it is actionable items that I can bring back that I can, number one, help other agents that I work with. right? But then also help grow the business that I work with on Grace or with Grace on. So I feel like I'm extremely fortunate because I'm able to absorb things from so many different angles when I go to events like 8%, events like SWAT. I'm not in the day-to-day field sales so much anymore. I still do it from time to time, but it's rare. Mostly I just sell by referrals, but I'm still able to pick that information up and then I can use it to help agents because even though I've been in this business for 17 years, it's changed so much. I mean, when I was out doing business 17 years ago, it was Med Sup and Final Expense. I mean, that was pretty much it. There were no e-apps. There were no quoting platforms. You know, there was only about three or four different Med Sups in any given state. One of them was Captive, Bankers Life and Casualty. And other than that, you had Blue Cross, United Healthcare, maybe Mutual of Omaha. And then you might have like a United Teacher Associates or a Sterling or when I was selling Royal Neighbors, actually had a Med Sup out in the field. It was great. So it was just a very small selection of products. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, there really were no good dental products, things like that. So the product selection has grown so much. The technology has grown so much that I've had to work a little harder to stay in touch with the field agents and with the marketplace at that level. And these events have really given me the ability to keep myself grounded at ground level, so to speak, while still having the ability to look at the industry from a very high level overview through the eyes of PSM.
Yeah.
So the events have been huge for me. And I can honestly say my business 100% since I showed up at 8% almost 3 years ago has doubled over in that time.
Yeah. So, I mean, a lot to unpack there, man. I've been singing the praises lately. I did a Medicare Monsters call this morning and talked about the Patrick Lencioni book, The Ultimate Team Player. And I don't know if he's quoting someone else or if this is a quote from him, but he says, if it's lonely at the top, you're doing it wrong. And so yeah. You talked about getting in the room and just making friends in the industry as you climb, you know, the ladder of success, whatever that means to someone. When you get there, if you're successful and you feel all alone, then you just didn't do something right, because there's plenty of people that can share in the pleasure of making progress in the world. So that's a huge point, a huge takeaway that I keep trying to, you know, and that's an evolving thought process in my mind. A lot of people look at, I want X money, I want X mm-hmm. things, you know, I want X number of clients, whatever these goals are, and they're great. It's great to have metrics to measure things by. But you know, it is very important to have these friendships and relationships that make the burnout doesn't exist. So for me, it's been a huge win to not have burnout. I go to events
yes.
and it eradicates burnout because I think I can't be burnout. Look at what so-and-so is doing and so-and-so. And I'm not thinking they're my enemy or opponent. I'm thinking they're doing awesome things. It makes me want to do more. Like friendly competition is a real thing. And then you just to unpack, like talking about the product outline. So I've been in about 8 years now. And I came in probably when a lot of some of the initial pushes to some of these companies were in the broker community, like, you know, the initial push of Cigna, like Loyal American, American mm-hmm. Retirement, and the initial push of the first wave of Aetna, first big wave of Aetna, the first push of Manhattan Life,
first family push, life.
Right? Yeah. And first push, right after I came in, first push of Equitable Life and Casualty. And, I know just sitting on like the boards with some of like the Manhattan Lives, you know, they came in, Equitable Life, I think, racked up a $330 million block of business, $330 million premium Med Sup quickly. And, you know, Manhattan Life, clean house. They'll tell you it ain't that easy anymore for them either, that the competition right. is steep. You know, they're having to figure out what can, you know, Manhattan Life and Equitable came in with a great e-app initially. Weren't terrible underwriting. Equitable was pretty relaxed actually. But you know, it was also just giving, you know, good premium, good combination of alternative to the market, and they'd clean up on it. Mm-hmm. Now there'll be 10, 12 companies that fit that exact bill at every state at any given moment. So
yeah, there's 50 different Med Sup rates in Texas alone for Plan G.
It's crazy. 50. And then you got Medicare Advantage just changing so rapidly, you know, the HMOs and PPOs are evolving. The D-SNP market gets healthier and healthier, but then the market share is growing. Mm-hmm. I don't know. You probably know this. I don't know if the overall agent base is growing or shrinking. I feel like I see it getting younger, but we may be losing so many of the older ones that it's not really growing. I don't know.
I would like to say it's growing because it appears that it's growing, but maybe that's just me thrust into that certain element. So my perspective is shifted, right? Or distorted in some ways.
That's what I feel like. We see the energy of it from being right out there, and we're like, man, we're you know, the insurance industry is booming. But I'm like, from a sheer volume and numbers perspective, I have no idea.
Yeah, there's no report out there that shows the guys that are older, that are retiring or selling off their business or yeah, quitting the business or whatever. There's no right. There's no fall off report.
It's hard to say. I do think that, you know, people like yourself and hopefully us and Cody and, you know, all these guys and Joe and, you know, tons of people. I mean, tons of people that we're friends with, I feel like are making insurance cool mm-hmm. to some degree. Yeah. And just giving, you know, and I think like, you know, I don't think of, if I'm trying to sell a young guy on insurance, I'm not going to say, okay, hey, insurance is, you know, insurance is the transference of risk. Okay, that's boring. What I'm going to say is insurance is the medium for which you can pursue a freeing, autonomous, entrepreneurial career, you know, that is better than any other medium out there. It's inventoryless. The investment is more time than anything early on. And, you know, it's part of that FIRE group, finance, insurance, real estate. But yeah, I think of that group, I feel like insurance is the biggest vacuum. When you pick a great niche like Medicare, you know, there's a lot of opportunities there. So anyway, so I do feel it getting young. I think that there's a huge opportunity there to bring in. I think there's a large division in overall age. You got these guys that we're meeting a lot recently that are like, we've never done a paper app. I'm still like, what?
Right.
No, never done, even, yeah, never done an e-app. Sorry.
Never faxed an application in.
And then we have the youngest guys, you know, that are out there that have never done the paper app. But I think there's this like big, you know, gap where the electronic push started bringing in younger people and maybe even pushing out some of the mid-range guys that were like trying to get into it. They're like, oh, it's too tech right. oriented. We have a guy right now that I'm working with, and he struggles with the electronic side because the way we're trying to train is like Sunfire and, you know, CSG and all this stuff. And he's just like, mind is blown. And I'm like, you know, but then you take a 25-year-old and that part's easy for them.
Right. They figure that out quick.
The hard part for them is how
I relate with my customers.
Yeah. The hard part for them is the grit of making all the individual contacts and knowing it's not a get rich quick scheme. The older folks are like, yeah, I know it's not a get rich quick scheme. Life hasn't been that for me at all so far. So they have a little bit more marathon, not a sprint mentality. Mm-hmm. So both present opportunities and problems. So Tony, you know, when we were in Medicare Con, we're at SWAT together, and it's getting to be where it's like a family reunion everywhere I go, you know, with all these guys. You know, we talked about how unpacking that idea of how the industry's shifting. What are you? Do you have any idea of where you think it's going, or any kind of, you know, grand vision of where you would like it to go? That we're headed in that direction right now. I know I have some ideas. I just wondered if you had any.
Yeah. No. Absolutely. I definitely think we are continually headed towards a managed care model. Where MA will continue to thrive. I was reading an article today that talked about how much growth there's been in the MA space, but how much growth there is still available in that space alone. And then the estimations and the numbers of seniors that will end up on Medicare Advantage, you know, by 2023, by 2030 even, the projections are pretty enormous. With that said, MedSup continues to grow too, and it will continue to grow. That's not going to change. Just MedAdvantage is growing faster. So I think eventually we will be on a managed care model primarily, where there's maybe a universal healthcare system of some sort, but then there are the different privatized versions of that managed healthcare system that people can buy into. And I think eventually it will be an all-inclusive club, so to speak, right? So if you're on the Humana managed care plan or whatever, you have your HMO group of doctors and hospitals, but then you have your healthy benefits people as well, your different gyms, and that's where all the Humana people go, or to that gym, right? There's their fitness club. Everything is kind of self-contained, not necessarily in one building, but in one community, you know, even if it's maybe a little bit across town. But I really think that's where it's headed, where they will eventually create eventually, and I think the younger wave of people coming in this industry is what's going to change that mindset, is they will start to look at healthcare and medicine from a proactive standpoint, not a treatment standpoint where we're just creating customers, but here's how you can better take care of yourself. Here's the, you know, the healthy living people that can help you in your plan. And here's the gym, and here's the this class, and then your doctors and specialists that you can work with as well. I think that's ultimately where we're going in the private side of things. May not be that pretty in the universal model.
Yeah.
But I think the private side of things will elevate all those benefits and create that type of plan for everybody.
Yeah, no, I agree with you that, you know, I think it there's a massive shift in the managed care model. I even talked to a lot of clinics that only take managed care in our provider relations marketing. And some of them, you know, they want to send people to brokers like us to intentionally put them on, you know, managed care plans because they have a model that creates a residual revenue, which we have to appreciate in Medicare. We're all about the residual revenue. And that's how they increase their quality of care, where it's not by how many appointments I can get or how few appointments I can get someone at. It's about, I don't care how many times you have to come as long as you're healthy and happy as much as possible. And I think that in the long run, the managed care will do that. You know, the interesting thing is like in the short run, there's a lot of guinea pigging that's happening, you know? And so like you go into a more rural market and you see the HMOs and the providers are trying to fight it so much, you know? But I can already tell you that just as where I'm at, Northeast Mississippi is a pretty rural market. But we're already seeing that it's going to go that way even here.
Yeah.
And so a lot of these other markets are going to do that. And I don't necessarily think that it's bad. It's just what it's just the evolution. You can't really think about it from a what's my opinion on it. It's how am I going to navigate it from a business standpoint?
Yeah. The snowball's too big and it's going to grow and move in its direction. It's just how can I participate in it? Be a steward of it. Right.
Yeah.
And manage it properly for the people that I care about. So 100%.
That's right. I was talking to someone earlier and they're like, I really like you guys because you write a lot of med sup and they're just really like anti-Medicare Advantage kind of conversation. And I'm like, we do write a lot of med sup. We wrote about 2,500 med subs in AEP, but we wrote 777 Medicare Advantage plans. So we're more med sup, but that 777 the year before was about 100. So
right.
See how fast it's growing. And our MedSup didn't decline. So like you said, MedSup's still growing. Medicare Advantage right now is not growing at the expense of MedSup. It's growing
correct.
In addition to. So the opportunity
very well put.
Massive. I mean, you think about like if MedSup is still growing at its average pace, Medicare Advantage is growing because the LIS dual special needs market is growing. The product footprint is growing. And so correct. People that wouldn't buy a MedSup before, they wouldn't buy anything. They were just winging it. We'll now get a Medicare Advantage plan. We'll now get LIS or dual special needs plans. So it's just, there's more opportunity than there was before. It's not about
correct
taking someone necessarily from a MedSup and putting them on Medicare Advantage plan. Last year,
it's well said. It's a culmination of things,
right?
100%. It's the population growth for one in the space. Footprint was a great way to express that. The footprint of MA is growing rapidly. Right. So just like you said, they're popping up now in counties where the only choice was either just Medicare or Med Sup. Yeah. That was it. Now they have more options. So that's a big part of it. And then again, the population change. The Hispanic market is the fastest growing segment of Medicare. Mm-hmm. That particular culture tends to favor a plan like Medicare Advantage a lot more than Med Sup. There's a little bit different mentality than there and how they look at healthcare. So that's another big reason why Medicare Advantage is growing so rapidly is because of that group of people as well.
Yeah. Yeah. We definitely see, you know, there's all every culture has a different split and percentages of them as to how they feel about the cost of healthcare and that sort of thing. And a lot of correct. It comes from what's ingrained in them, you know, maybe where their heritage comes from. If you have somebody that's just second generation, you know, American or you know, from the United States, but they're, you know, they're coming from Mexico or a country that maybe they didn't have the same sort of healthcare capitalist kind of expensive model that we do. They're kind of anti paying into that system because they're not used to it. But even in like, you know, the Caucasian side, it seems to be that there's even that shift I think is happening too, where you're getting more white people even that are prone to wanting Medicare Advantage. It's a cultural shift that we're going through, where, you know, that's, they're not appreciating the quality of health. I wouldn't say the quality. I don't want to make like Medicare Advantage. Medicare Advantage has its pros on quality as well. But from that MedSup perspective, when used to, we would sell based on, you know, freedom of choice and networks. Correct. And all that. Yeah. Some people that are saying, you know, I'm okay with staying in the network. You know, I'm okay with navigating the network. It's going to save me a little bit of money. Or used to, you'd have a guy that says, if I can't go to Dr. Kilgore, I'm not going to the doctor, you know? And
yeah, those guys are few and far between now.
It's a shift.
You know, you still run into them, but not as often.
Yeah. Man,
and a lot of times Dr. Kilgore accepts the local Medicare Advantage plan anyway. So
Dr. Kilgore is starting to come around, or he retired.
Right, or he retired, exactly. It is a mental shift. And a lot of times those people, it's apples and apples to them because they're coming from a group system that has the same name brand carriers, mm-hmm. same types of networks, similar copay structure, et cetera. So they're like, that's a natural transition for them a lot of times. So
right.
Sure.
Yeah, no,
that's what they expect.
I agree. So, you know, Dr. Kilgore retires and all of his patients say, okay, well, now I have to change doctors. So I'm going to get rid of this $200 MedSup. But right. No, we are seeing that. So actually last AEP, I'd say that we changed as many people from MedSup to Advantage as we did from Advantage to MedSup. So it was kind of an even swap. We were seeing some people that were like, I want to get off this Advantage plan and go to MedSup. And vice versa. So I don't think the numbers of who's MA versus who meds up for our book changed. We just had a little bit of a swap. And then the overall numbers of Advantage, those were like new customers that we mostly wouldn't have gotten before. You know, they were just people that would have went without. They were VA people. They were, or they were dual special needs. So we looked at it as like gravy on top of what we were already doing. So, you know, that's huge.
Absolutely.
And I mean, at your level too, I mean, I just imagine, you know, you had talked about you guys had the earliest adaptation of Sunfire with your Medicare is what you guys used as PSN.
Yeah, we white labeled as Your Medicare, but yeah, we rolled it out July of 2019.
Yeah. So you guys actually got to see a lot of the real data and numbers that were coming through there ahead of everybody else. And I remember hearing you talk about just the volume of Medicare Advantage applications you guys were seeing come through there and how astonishing that was. That the uniform enrollment system that way had to have been, you know, help push, you know, applications through a lot faster.
Absolutely. It made the entire process simpler from the scope of appointment to the app itself. Mm-hmm. The first AEP, we rolled that out in 2019. We were, during AEP, we were just shy of an app a minute during AEP. Wow. Was like every minute, 6 seconds, something like that.
Yeah.
This last AEP, we beat an app a minute. It was like every 54 seconds or something. There was an app getting submitted through there via AEP. So yeah, it's those tools have really changed the industry in the last couple of years and helped create some growth, certainly for groups that now can't maybe get the call center contract from United Healthcare or Humana or Aetna, but now they can pretty much operate a lot like a call center.
Yeah.
With these electronic apps and all-in-one hubs that are out there. They just don't have the voice signature process, but those are coming. It's just a matter of time before Sunfire and Connecture and these other platforms have a voice signature authorization on there.
Yeah.
It's well, I've even noticed
just from being in some of those talks that, you know, used to have the full voice signature, you had to get a CMS call center certification. But I think COVID has actually relaxed that a little bit because I've heard of CMS lately kind of relaxing the rules where it's not necessarily even a certification. As long as you have certain capabilities to record calls, there's some scripting that you can get that's legitimate. Now we don't have it right now, but I've consulted with some people that didn't go through CMS call center certification, but have been giving that, you know, well, that's good enough. Here's a script. You have to read this. And as long as you can provide the proof of the report,
here's your disclosure. You're good.
So, you know, I think that you're right. Like that's been relaxing over a period of time. And I think that even, you know, even though we're, you know, we've volleyed back to the more regulatory side of, you know, the politics right now, I think they're going to have time overly burdening the system with regulation with such a large growing population and the fact that they really want their AC and ACA enrollments up right now, all of these different things to further burden the agent community would make it more and increasingly more difficult to actually get some of these plan enrollments done that both sides of Congress should want, you know, at this point, especially on the Medicare side, because I think everyone accepts at the congressional level that there is going to be a shift to a managed care model.
Yeah.
It used to be like managed care or Medicare Advantage was a Republican push. And then ACA right. came out and you look at ACA and you're like, oh, so they like managed care too in the under 65 market. So now, I mean, what are we saying here? I think everybody just understands that there's a managed care model coming. So you are
absolutely
right. It's a shift. It's a shift. And I think it'll take time, but eventually there'll be, they'll inject some choice in there, but it'll be more regulated choice.
Yep.
I don't think anything that is necessarily bad. And I guess I have to come back in my own head to like, you can't think about it as good or bad. You have to think about it as this is my market. This is my career. How do I navigate this to help my clients and keep my lights on? So.
Yeah, correct. It's a perfect analogy of the whole book, Who Moved My Cheese? Going through a cheese evolution, if you will, where maybe your cheese isn't necessarily getting moved, but it's gonna taste a little different, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, that's, you just have to go to a few different places to find it, but it's still gonna be there.
I haven't read that, but I'm assuming it's kind of like the bookstore owner that woke up one day and Amazon had put him out of business, and he's like, "Where's my cheese?"
Correct. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
You can't or sit around and wait for that to happen.
Right. Or taxi cabs.
Yeah.
Or you know, there's a lot of businesses, 100%, that just woke up one day and they're like, "What's going on? How come we don't have any business anymore?"
Yeah. And Elon Musk is going to put truck drivers out of business. You know, Elon Musk is going to have
exactly
the self-driving electric 18-wheeler one of these days.
Yeah, so. With the robot on it that jumps off and delivers your Amazon package.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so. You got Boston Dynamics has already got that figured out. And they've got the guy, they've got the robot that comes out of the van with your package right on a little trolley or something that unloads him. And then he walks over and sets your package down and then turns back to the van and it loads him back up.
Well, you know, he's never going to break your package. He's always going to put it right down where it goes.
Very correct. Yes.
Well, have you been in the hotels before that have a robot bring you things to your room?
I have not had that yet.
Yeah. You
That's
can
pretty awesome.
It, but there are some hotels that have like a, you know, bellboy robot and he will go and get on. He'll like, you call in, you say, I need another pillow. And he will come up through the elevator to your room. Be really polite and hand you the pillow. You don't have to worry about a robot being a smart ass, you know?
Right. R2-D2 was kind of known for maybe, that, but yeah, yes.
Maybe. We're a little bit far from them developing the full blown AI, I guess.
Yes, it's coming.
Hopefully they don't get robots to sell insurance anytime soon. So, but well, awesome, man. You know, just tell you, listen, Tony, thank you.
Yeah.
For being on here. You know, I just love having these conversations. So, you know, I think it gives, you know, people maybe that are newer to the industry or disconnected from the industry a chance to listen to a conversation that maybe we're having. Drop questions in the comments and, you know, any that you ask Tony, I will forward over to him and get his response. But it gives us a chance to really think about where the industry is going, what's important to us. And maybe help evolve it in the correct way and the way that's best for all of us that gives us all the most opportunity. So thank you for being a steward of that, by the way, Tony, because, you know, anytime I'm around you, it's just, you know, good time. Never been around Tony and felt like negative, you know, vibes. You know what I mean? Just a cool guy.
Yeah, likewise, man.
So, well, awesome, man. So thank you for being on here. Sorry, my camera died there for a minute, but we'll be back with round two of Tony. If you want Tony back on the podcast or back on this video, please comment below. And if you're listening to this on the Apple podcast platform, please leave us a 5-star review or 4-star. You know, those are good too. There's something I could do better, do 4-star. But appreciate you on here, Tony. And we'll talk to you soon, man.
You got it, buddy.